I'm excited to introduce my friends to you. They're going to tell you a lot more. The Ericsons, Andy and Heather, and their daughter Addie, and their boys are in the back. But can we just give them a warm Rockside welcome? Yes. I wanna read just real quick just a little bit about them, and then we'll welcome you guys up, and you can take it from here. So it says this: Andy and Heather Erickson are AG U.S. missionaries with Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. For 14 years, they have served secular university students in Dayton, training them to be disciples who make disciples of Jesus. Amen. They are also now the district directors for Ohio Chi Alpha, where they train, coach, and recruit missionaries for all the campuses across the state of Ohio. So that is super good. So I want you guys, this is so exciting. Thank you guys for being here and just sharing what God is doing in you guys and through you. We're so glad to be able to be a part, not only to pray, but to support and just to be able to come alongside. So welcome to the stage, Andy and Heather Erickson.
Much. Good morning, Rockside. We're so happy to be with you.
Yes, we're super excited to be here.
Go ahead. Pastor Michelle and I have been friends for many years now, and it's really quite an honor to see what God has been doing in Independence through the ministry and outreach of Rockside Church. Thank you so much, congregation, for your recent pledge and support of our ministry family. It's been such a meaningful thing, because as we have stepped into this new role, we've had to increase our partnerships, and very quickly Rockside was one of those churches that said, yes, we want to stand with you as we reach the secular universities across all of Ohio. So bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll explain Chi Alpha in a little bit, but at first I want to start with the story, but I want you to be a part of the story. Can you guys do that with us this morning? Okay. We just did a little bit of the kids' service as well, and so they were...
Which was adorable.
Very hyped. And so whatever you're feeding those kids, it's working wonders. But imagine, just for a moment, that you are stepping foot on a college campus, whether that's Cleveland State, Baldwin-Wallace, University of Dayton, The Ohio State University, whatever you want. Imagine you're stepping foot on that college campus, and you're trying to live out your life for Jesus, but you cannot find Christians. Like, there's people that say they're Christians, but they're not living it out. There's maybe some churches around there, but it's like, man, it's a lot of work to get there. You don't even have a car. Like, the university doesn't let you have a car your first year for whatever reason. Okay, imagine you're in that environment. And then imagine you find yourself wanting friends, wanting Christian friends, wanting to follow Jesus. You can't find anybody. But then you also stumble upon one of the largest parties that your university puts on. Okay, I don't know what's the biggest party you've ever been to, but imagine this is like 10 times that size party. And you're stumbling through this party, trying not to live for the world, but trying to find Jesus followers. And you give out kind of one of those desperation prayers of, God, just help me find friends. Help me find Christian community. I believe we've all prayed prayers like that, where we don't really think God's going to answer the prayer, but we feel like we should anyway. It just kind of was those guttural soul prayers, like just, Lord, help, right? Imagine that's you on a campus. But it's not just an imagination. That's a reality. That's thousands of students on our campuses. That's thousands of students. We looked it up. There's about 45,000 students enrolled in Cleveland, in the Cleveland area. There's about just under 50,000 in Dayton. There's about 50 to 60,000 at The Ohio State University. So thousands of students, I believe, are just like that, stumbling on the campus, trying to find Christian community, trying to live for Jesus, and they cannot find it, and they're stuck in the world. And that's the reality.
In Chi Alpha, we say that the university is the mission field. We approach this mission field with four things in mind. One, that we would reach the lost. There are university students, like Andy is describing, who have, even in this generation, never heard the name of Jesus, or who have heard it and who have never understood what the life-changing power of his sacrifice and his life could mean for them. We also prioritize equipping Christians. There are healthy churches in Ohio, yeah, where for 18 years they've been investing into Christian youth, and when they step onto the secular university, may be encountering the world in a whole new way, mm-hmm, than they ever have before. Yeah. Chi Alpha Ministries walk alongside them and say, hey, let's now actualize those giftings and those investments so that you can make a difference for the kingdom of God right where your feet are. And among those who are on the university are the nations.
Amen.
Hundreds and thousands of students from across the world are attending your universities and living in your backyard every day. We have wonderful stories to tell you about them today, but let me say that reaching the nations is not any easier than on the university campus. Amen. Because God draws them into one place and says, here they are.
Amen. Amen.
And they then become the best missionaries back to their home countries.
Yeah.
Where they have visas and access and citizenship, the golden ticket, to be able to then multiply disciples of Jesus in their own context.
Yeah.
And finally, we believe in training up leaders. It's one thing to know Jesus. It's another thing then to be able to think critically and develop things with their giftings and their skills to be able to expand the kingdom. And so we disciple them and put them through leadership training so that they can be effective on the university, in the marketplace, and around the world.
Amen.
Chi Alpha Campus Ministry started in 1953 at the Missouri State University. It was a small ministry back then, but it was founded on this idea that we are representatives of Jesus right here. So the name Chi Alpha actually comes from 1 Corinthians 5:20, the verse where Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Chi Alpha, that's the abbreviation there. As though God were making his appeal through us. So then we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the identity that students around the state of Ohio are living with every day as they participate in our 11 different Chi Alpha chapters, that I am a representative of Jesus. I represent the kingdom of God wherever I go. And on the university, where there is so many ideologies and different ways of thinking, they then are the ones standing up and saying, but the kingdom. But Jesus,
yes.
Let me introduce you to him.
So zooming it down to where we're at, in Dayton, Ohio, Chi Alpha was pioneered by Steve and Liz Brannon. You guys may have heard of them.
That's a great picture of them.
So, So Steve and Liz Brannon, in 2001, they started at Wright State University. It was a very young university. It's like 1967 is when it was founded. All the trees are very tiny and barely any students were going there back in 2001. But it's grown since then, and then it's expanded to Sinclair Community College, the University of Dayton. So now it's a city model, so students across the city connect with Chi Alpha. Right now there's about 40 to 50,000 students in the Dayton area connected with those three universities. And like Heather said, we really have four priorities with Chi Alpha. We really want to reach the lost. I believe most of the students on the college campuses today truly don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. They may know the name of Jesus, they may have been to a church, but they really are not living out their life for Jesus. We also want to equip Christians, like Heather said, reaching internationals and training them up to be leaders. And so I want to continue that story. So imagine, remember you were back on that university, okay? You were stumbling through a giant party. You were nervous, right? You couldn't find Christians. Well, there's a guy that actually happened to. His name's Noah. He was stumbling on one of our universities in Dayton, the University of Dayton. And you may have heard of a holiday called the St. Patty's Day or St. Patrick's Day. Okay, you guys may have heard of him. Pretty famous missionary, actually, and he would be like rolling over in his grave to know what the holiday means today. But basically, this is one of the largest St. Patty's Day parties in the nation. David Letterman says that there's four places to be. Dublin, Ireland, New York, Chicago, and the University of Dayton, if you want to party for the St. Patty's Day, okay? Yeah, I don't know why it happened there. Well, it's Catholic, so that's just how it's all connected. There's lots of history there. But basically, Noah finds himself praying that prayer. Noah's in the upper left. We have two Noah stories. He's in the upper left, right in the middle. He's stumbling on the campus, and one of those desperation prayers, and wouldn't you know God answers, or do you know that God answers prayers?
Amen.
Do you know that God answers prayers? Sometimes quickly, right? Okay, so God answered this prayer very quickly, and so he finds a table with Chi Alpha people there, and they had an outreach called Jesus and Grilled Cheeses, or grilled cheeses for Jesus. Okay, we've changed the name, different things. So he stumbles upon it and says, are you guys Christian? Yeah, we're Christian. And so they have a conversation with Jay Seidler, who I think he came up a couple months ago to speak. So Jay Seidler has a great conversation with Noah. Noah is able to rededicate his life to Jesus and really reform that relationship, that he didn't have community. He really needed direction and all those things that God was wanting to do in Noah's life. And he does it right in the middle of the party at the University of Dayton. Isn't Jesus creative? Yeah, absolutely. So this is the party that they flip cars at, they burn couches at, all that type of stuff. And so Noah has had an incredible testimony. He's made some huge sacrifices for Jesus. So it wasn't just that moment. Like, he really had to grow a lot with Jesus, make a lot of sacrifices. He was water baptized later in that fall at our AG campground, Heartland Conference and Retreat Center. Yes, that's right. And then he led a small group this past year, and he led, honestly, one of the most successful Bible studies we've ever had. Okay, he raised up 4 young freshmen to be leaders next year. So imagine, like, a guy stumbling through a party trying to find Christian community to now he's making disciples who make disciples on that very same campus, and he's taken a gap year before his med school, so he's way smarter than I am, and he's agreed to volunteer to continue to serve Chi Alpha and the students on those universities. And so we're just so thankful that Jesus can do that with people. Amen? Jesus can take people that are stumbling and they're lost or they know Jesus and they're trying to find community. And what we're trying to say is it's a mission field. Yes. Our prayer for today, of multiple, but one of them is that you would see the university as a mission field, not a hopeless spiritual hole, but a potential farm for missionaries, a potential farm for fishermen, a potential farm for church planters and people in seats here that would continue to serve Cleveland and to go on to world missions to do all types of things for Jesus. So one verse I just want to highlight is Mark 1. You guys can turn there if you want to. We have a couple short verses. Mark 1, verse 16. You may be familiar with it, but I'll just read it. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them. He says, come follow me. I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, this may seem super strange to us that you're in the middle of your welding job and some random guy shows up to you and say, hey, let's go do a different job. And you drop your welding equipment and then you go follow him and your dad's right there and he's okay with it. Like, that seems really weird for us. But there's a lot of cultural reasons why this is such an honor for Jesus to invite these men to make disciples. But what I want to point out is that the call to follow Jesus was never meant to be separated to also the challenge to make fishers or to make disciples. Let me say that again. The call to follow Jesus was never designed to be separated from making disciples. So if you're here this morning and you are a committed follower of Jesus, let me also challenge you and reveal to you or remind you that you're also a fisher of men. You're a fisher of women. We had the same kind of moment with the kids, and one of the sweet girls, she's like, I guess I'm not a fisherman, I'm a fisherwoman, right? It was so great. But that's the reality. That's what Jesus is trying to portray to us. And so we just want to have a couple stories this morning about what God is doing on the campuses, and our hope is that it inspires you, it challenges you, and we're going to have a time of prayer at the very end, but the Lord is doing so much. And we just want to share and highlight Jesus. Is that okay with you guys? Okay.
If you look on the slide here in the lower left-hand corner, there's this beautiful picture of a young woman named Katie. I mean, doesn't she look full of joy in this picture?
Love it.
When I met Katie, she was 19, and she was full of anger. Full of anger because of so many moments in her life where she had been wounded by other people, where there had been discord, and there just wasn't a really clear way of how do I walk out forgiveness and healing. And so Katie was prickly. She was hard to love. She was hard to get close to. But over time, and the persistence of good friendship and the kindness of community and the love of Jesus, Katie yielded to receiving not only Jesus' forgiveness in her life, but the power of giving forgiveness to others. And so when Katie encountered that, this is what it looked like after she was water baptized. It was just so like, good. Oh, freedom and relief. Amen. And so then the next year, when she was a junior in college, Katie agreed to then start leading a small group. We call those core groups on our campus. And the point is not to study the Bible together. That's one of the things that this community does. But they're a core group of friends that live out honoring Jesus and devoting their lives to him, being in community together, and reaching others. So they're like a missional community, a community on mission. And she's like, I will lead one of those and make disciples. And so when I asked Katie recently, could you tell me, just like sum up, what has being in Chi Alpha meant to you? She said this: I would like to say that Chi Alpha has really helped me grow my relationship with Jesus, and that I'm so thankful for the friends and community it has brought me. Also, and I'll explain this, but she says, also, I'm proud of how far Daisy and Jalen have come and how much they have grown from when I first met them. She mentions these two girls, and this is the heartbeat of what we do. 2 Timothy 2:2 is a passage where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, take what you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, and then go and entrust it to reliable people who will then go and teach others. This ongoing, pass the baton, hand-to-hand of the gospel, it is a personal, person-to-person message. It's an investment that is made into the soul of another. And Katie got that because as she led that core group, then she met these two young freshmen, Daisy and Jalen, best friends, freshmen on the campus, scared as all get out. But Katie was the best big sister she knew how to be to them, loving them and explaining that what God had done to her, he could now do through her and invite those girls into a relationship with Jesus as well. Before I tell you about the next story on the slide there with those beautiful Indian women, I want to tell you the story that came before that. So just kind of as a surprise, I'd like to say, Rebecca, could you come up here real quick? I want you guys to see my friend Rebecca.
Give it up for Rebecca. She didn't know she was going to be on stage today, so you can be right in the middle.
This is my friend Rebecca that I have known since what year?
Freshman year.
Yeah, what year was that?
That was 2016.
2016. Mm. Oh, that was the year that we got nationally appointed. Wow, that's really nice. That's really nice. So when we met Rebecca, you were a freshman. You had no idea who Daniel was yet, right? You were on your journey with Jesus. And because of God's goodness and his care for you as his daughter, you meet Daniel, right? You guys got engaged your senior year or junior year? Junior year in Chicago. Daniel did a great job. We were at winter conference. Oh, okay, yeah. Right? Yeah. She comes back.
He kind of set the bar for all the other guys that were interested in girls. He's like, was it in front of the bean or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was very pretty.
But then didn't they, like, bring you guys up front of the entire 1,000-person conference and, like, celebrate with you? And we're like, we really celebrated.
Like, some of you guys got pizza. Some of you guys got Italian food. And some of you guys got engaged. And so it was great.
But the story I wanted to mention this morning was your gap year. Mm-hmm. Because you guys might know that they're in residency right now with med school to be doctors. And they're working so hard to continue to serve Jesus and to raise their son. And when they graduated, they continued to live right next to campus on purpose for that first year of their marriage. And maybe, Andy, could she borrow your... What did you guys have going on that you were... You know, it was different every week, but you were trying to serve a specific type of student, right?
Yeah, we were working with a lot of international students. I don't know, for both of us, that was just something that we always were kind of drawn to. Daniel did a couple international mission trips while he was in undergrad.
Yeah.
And then it's really funny because God called me into the field of pathology and medicine, which is the most international heavy field of medicine there is. In my entire residency program, so we're all doctors in training to become board certified, there's 24 of us, and including me, there's 3 Americans. Wow. So wow. I get to meet so many people from all over the world every day. We're talking about it, you know. But
yeah.
It's like, it just keeps happening over and over. But so Chi Alpha was the first time I even, you know, witnessed international culture, because where I grew up, there just wasn't really a lot of people.
Period. There was not a lot of people, period, in Adams County.
No, none at all. But, yeah, we got to reach out to a lot of internationals, make a lot of really good friends. And it's cool because, like, what they said, the college campus is so strategic. These are, like, these are individuals in their community who are leaders because they're coming to America for education, and they go back as leaders, and they have all this authority. And then if they become Christians and they're leaders, it's just a great way to reach out to other countries without even going there. Just send them there. Like they're saying, it's just so strategic. And what they're doing is really good. These guys love college students. I'm like a chronic college student going through medical
That's
school.
That's true, you are.
They've loved me forever, so it's been really cool. And, yeah, they are always out there working hard. They have really, really challenging jobs. Like, sometimes it's really hard to reach out to college students. They're going through a lot of things, you know. They really just, I don't know, you guys are awesome. But, yeah.
You're awesome, Rebecca. Thank you so much. Give it up for Rebecca.
We didn't bring you up to, you know, puff us
no,
up.
No, we did not. But our hope was that you would hear straight from the source that as 22-year-olds, they were opening up their home regularly on a weekly basis to make a meal and to sit with these international grad students mainly and listen to their lives and make friends with them and share life together in the hopes of being able to share the gospel.
And I want to give the second part of like where that developed. So I remember you guys came to us and you said, hey, we just want to reach, we got a gap year, we want to reach internationals and grad students. I'm like, I don't know how to do that, but you guys are really motivated, so you did it like on a Friday night or Saturday nights. So they just pioneered something. They just tried it. And I remember like the highs and lows of it. Like one, you're like, hey, it was great. We had all these people. And then no one, like, it was just Daniel and I. I'm like, hey, push through. We'll keep doing this. Like, we got your back. Like, and that's life in ministry, right? But they pushed through. And so you don't even know this, but what the seeds that you guys planted, and we've been continuing to pray, like, Lord, help us to reach the nations on our campus. Help us to raise up people. So an Indian student was a grad student with us about last year, and he was in transition to find a job, and he felt called to come back to Chi Alpha to switch his visa so that he would be a religious worker, no longer a student, like giving up his future.
His whole career
as an engineer in computer science to do ministry. And we're like, man, that's a huge deal. So we prayed through it, felt right. The Lord opened up all the doors, even during the current administration, like the Lord opened up the doors for him to get approved to change his visa, which is a huge deal. When other internationals are being removed from campus, he's getting the approval to stay, which is amazing. And then this January, he started an international outreach, and it kind of built up over time. And so now every other Friday, about 30 to 50 international students gather on campus, and they hear a gospel message, a gospel story. They eat, and they discuss around tables, and then they play games, and they build community. And half of them aren't even Christians. It's like the most beautiful thing ever. I wish I had a picture, but we have all the flags, and they're like,
there's a picture coming up later.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, we got a lot of Indians. We need an Indian flag up there. So it's just beautiful of what you've started, and even you cut your teeth on reaching internationals so that now what you get to do, what you do now, of just noticing that. And so that's so much of what God is doing on the campuses. It's not the most polished thing all the time. You know, it's not always the most perfect thing. Like, there's a lot of rookies. There's a lot of rookies on the campus, but they're learning how to reach students. They're learning how to make disciples in a very real way. And so I'm super thankful for what you do. I got a lot more stories to tell you about that. But can you give it up one more time for Rebecca? Good.
So one of the Indian students that got connected to the community was this young woman named Karen. And this is Karen with Yamini and Saujanya and one of their other friends. And Karen's the one in the foreground with me. Karen was a Christian from southern India when she came to the United States, but she had no real understanding of what friends am I going to make? What is this experience going to be like? But that young man that started the Friday gatherings was still in his graduate studies, and he met Karen, and he's like, oh, well, the Indian Christians go to Chi Alpha. Okay, so come and be a part of this community. And she did, and Karen started regularly just loving and serving her Hindu roommate over 2 years. Loving her and serving her, talking openly about what she does with her life, sharing the gospel. And then just this fall, Shivi went to Kettering Assembly of God, one of our partner churches in the city. heard the gospel message formally from the front, went down to the altar, and repented of Hinduism and gave her life to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Karen. Karen's not a pastor. Karen doesn't have any ministerial degrees. She is not a professional missionary. She's just someone who loves the people around her. And because she understands the context of Hinduism, because of her cultural origins, she's the perfect person to love people like Shivi. And now Shivi is serving as a children's worker at her church. Come on, somebody, right? Amen. Like, she's already serving.
Amen. Well, we want to be conscious of our time. So with the last story we have with Noah, I'll just do the short version. But basically, he came to campus a little bit different than the other Noah. So he came to campus not knowing Jesus as a Christian at all. And if you know the term body count, that was what he was interested in. Okay, just making a lot of friends with women, okay, on the campus. That was his goal. And so he finds himself in our living room with his best friend at a Chi Alpha introductory meeting. I don't know.
Miraculously.
I don't even know how he got there.
Neither one of these guys are Christians.
He doesn't know how he got there. But he gives his life to Jesus in that moment. And then Jesus transforms, like, that's his, like, first month freshman year. And you imagine what the Lord can do the rest of his time on the university. So then he meets an awesome woman, Bree. They end up getting married later. So they're leading an incredible, they're, like, part of their leadership with the young adults group. We did their wedding. And so this is me getting an awesome opportunity to perform their wedding. And, like, I think I cried more at their wedding than they did. I'm like, I got to get this together. I was like, they're not here for me. It was just like, but it was such a beautiful story, like literally like death to life, right? And I it's such an honor, honestly, to come speak to you guys the week after Easter, where this is so in line with Jesus' message, where Jesus died and rose back again. But he wasn't just telling all of his disciples, hey, wait around until I come back. Just be a good person, right? He gives them a job to do, and the job is to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Until Jesus comes back, right? That's our role, and that's the beauty of the gospel, that it continues to grow and grow and grow. So, go ahead.
This is what Chi Alpha is.
Yeah.
It is these life change stories of real people on the campus who are then, like Rebecca, going then into the marketplace and living out their faith, joining churches, becoming members last month, that's right, and helping build Jesus' church wherever God sends them.
Yes.
We've had the privilege to do this for, since we were freshmen in 03. So if you can do that math, Andy and I have been now 22 years on the campus reaching students, 13 or 14 years leading Chi Alpha teams. And we've just finished our third missionary term. We were up for renewal this last year and they approved us. We're good to go for another 4 years. But we were alumni on the campus. We met Jesus in a real way. We had been introduced to him as young people, but then because we got activated to do something with our faith and to partner with Jesus, co-labor with him in his great commission, that's what helped us like know him really.
Amen.
As the savior of the world. And so we want to just, can you jump to that slide that just has the stats from our last missionary term? It says 100 plus, yeah. This is what God has been doing through Dayton in the last term. We saw 100 plus students trained through our discipleship training class. We don't just tell people, hey, keep coming to events and that's discipleship. No, like we take them and we walk with them. Just like you guys had your class this morning, same kind of thing. Intentionally developing them in the ways and the methods of Jesus.
Yes.
35 students gave their lives to Jesus in the last 4 years.
Amen.
On the campus, 53 students followed the Lord in water baptism, and 44 students experienced more of him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Can we appreciate Jesus for that?
Yeah, thank you, Lord. We tell you these things to inspire you for what is happening on the secular campuses of Ohio. This is not limited to Dayton. These are the kinds of awakenings that are happening at The Ohio State University. This is happening down at University of Cincinnati and over at Kent State at Youngstown. Youngstown is about to launch their very first intern to join Joe Wesser on his staff team.
Amen.
We're so excited about that. The first CMIT is coming back from OSU to go to the University of Toledo to join Greg in April. Incredible. Their teams are growing. And that's our prayer for Cleveland, that God is stirring something in Cleveland as well.
So let me go off script just for a moment.
Yeah.
There's so much that's happening on the campuses, which we're incredibly honored for. Like this, it's like, you're right, it's not an easy job, but everybody's job is hard, okay? But the reality is just do what the Lord has called you to do, right? The Lord has called us to do this. So we're not special because we're on a campus. We're just trying to be obedient. I fully believe that God can call people to be engineers. I was an engineer for 3 years, and then God called me to a different job. And to be honest, God paid my paycheck when I worked for the government, and he pays my paycheck now. So it doesn't matter what the logo has on your paycheck or how whoever direct deposits in your account, it's the Lord. And the Lord is equipping you. The Lord is providing for you. The Lord's taking care of your needs so that you can do his work until Jesus returns. So I just want to pause here. There's lots of other great things that's happened. Our role, we get to care and coach staff, which is a really great privilege for us. I don't know if you guys have noticed just the stirrings that's been happening on the campuses. Like, can you raise your hand if you've seen, like, the water baptisms, like the Ohio State, baptizing students on campus. So just to let you know, Chi Alpha was, like, very much, like, behind the scenes. So, like, they come out of the water, they get water baptized, and they get pushed into a Chi Alpha staff's arms and say, okay, now get involved in the church. Don't just be wet. You know, like, get involved in church, be a disciple. Like, what's the next steps, right? And it was real. And I was talking to Kenji and the team there. And they have a lot of spiritual challenges because they're doing something. Because they're actually impacting the campuses. And so what I want to take a moment now is to think about, not just think about, what does the Lord want to do with Cleveland? I just want to say that directly. And I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't have campus ministries in Dayton or in Cleveland. He does. But I believe that there is a unique stirring in this season for the university students. And we've been doing university ministry for a long time. And some years it's like you did all the work and nobody showed up. You're like, I'll just be faithful. I'm just going to be honest. This is one of the most fun years we've ever done Chi Alpha because it feels like we're just doing the faithful playbook, but the Lord is just bringing things to the surface. There's 800 Indians. That is the most, that's the highest number. There's, okay, 10% of Wright State is international. 12% of Wright State is international. 800 of those are Indian. And guess who we just got on staff in January? An Indian named Joe Ed. And he wants to do an internship to come back and to reach the rest of the Indians on campus. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You can do this way better than I can, right? We also have 400 students from Nepal. I don't know if I've ever heard of students being sent from Nepal to the U.S. universities. But this year, there's 400 of them. And I'm like, Lord, we need leaders to reach the Nepal students. Just last service, one of the students who has been in our group for like 3 weeks, I thought she was Indian. She's Nepali. She comes to us and says, I want to be a leader. I want to make disciples. I want to actually reach my students. Isn't that amazing? Yes, thank you. And it's like, I'm too dumb to tell the difference, you know, but the Lord is doing it. So, but you guys own this city. So my charge for you guys is, will you see the universities as a mission field? When you see signs for Cleveland State, will you let your heart be broken? Will you pray for laborers to be raised up? When you see Baldwin Wallace, when you see Cuyahoga Community College, don't just ignore it. See that, like, man, what is the Lord doing there right now? It's not, does the Lord want to do something? He does, and he is. But I believe there's actually a spiritual shift that's happening right now. I was just talking to Pastor Michelle earlier. You guys, as a Cleveland church, Rockside Church, and also as a Cleveland Network, you guys have been praying and investing into the campuses already. We get calls, it feels like every other month, like, hey, when are you going to send a team to Cleveland? We're like, hey, we're praying too. And it does need to be a team that plants something like a Chi Alpha in Cleveland, like a city model. But I'm almost mad because I feel like the prayers, like Luke 10:2 says, pray like the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. I feel like Christians have been faithful to pray for workers. And part of me, maybe this is just my flesh, but I'm like, Lord, I think we did that. Like, I think we prayed for workers. So who's the worker? Who's the team? Who's the people that's going to stand up? And I don't know who it is. And maybe it's someone in this church. And I don't mean that in a generic way. Maybe it's somebody that you know. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood that you're going to pray for. Maybe it's a barista at your coffee shop that you frequent that they have the call and they just need somebody to reach them. Maybe there's a Noah in your neighborhood. Maybe there's a Katie in your neighborhood. Maybe there's a Karen in your neighborhood or another Noah in your neighborhood or at your work. You remember all the way back to Mark 1 where Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He never separated the following of Jesus from the making disciples. And we don't know what's going to happen when we make disciples for Jesus. We don't know where they're going to go. Our hope is that every student that comes through our ministry by God's grace does way better things than we do. And I hope that's your heart too, that whoever you reach, whoever you impact, that they go and do better things than you'll ever do. And we'll just give all the glory to Jesus and we'll get all the celebration in heaven.